Today's Shi'as Masechta Shavuos Daf Yotes. We will begin on Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis, three lines from the wide lines. We had learned in the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, opinion which is stated both by Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva. As we've been learning, if somebody becomes Tamei, and then he realizes he was Tamei, and he forgets he was Tamei and he enters the Beis HaMikdash, or eats Kodesh, that is the subject that we've been learning, the Zechiyev of Karban Ayla V'Yairit. But as we also learned, if someone remembered he's Tamei, but he ate Kodesh, or he remembered that he's Tamei, because he didn't realize it was Kodesh, or he remembered he's Tamei and he entered the Beis HaMikdash because he didn't recognize that is entering the Mikdash. According to the first Mishnah of our Masechta, and the first Mishnah of our second Perek, the halacha is that he's chayiv a karmen oil v'yayrit. Rabbi Elazar Rekiva disagree. Rabbi Elazar Rekiva say that that's not a situation where you chayiv karmen oil v'yayrit. The only point is that how they get to that opinion, the limud from the Pesukim, as we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar and Rekiva have different ways of getting to that position. And therefore, ask the Gemara, "My benayu, what is the practical nafkamina between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Kiva?" Omer Chizkia says Chizkia, the nafkamina will be shared from the veil ik benayu. The nafkamina will be: do you need to know when we say that you have to have a yediyah that you were tamei? What does that mean? Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion, says the Gemara, ad the yoda ibisheretz itmi ibn veil itmi. You have to have a yediyah betchila. A contrabalazer means that you know exactly why you became Tamei. Whereas Rabbi Kiva's Sava says the Gemara, Loi binin ad di yava. You don't need to know exactly why you became Tamei. Rather, Kiva di yada ditme ba'olam, as long as you are aware that you were Tamei, Loi tzarech, it's not necessary to know, ibisheretz itmi ibnel itmi. You don't have to know as to why. The Rishonim point out that even according to Rabbi Elazar that says you have to know why you became Tamei, how you became Tamei, it doesn't mean that you have to know to the nth degree. Meaning, for example, if you became Tamei with a Sheretz, you don't have to know exactly which Sheretz. Or if you became Tamei with a Nevela, you don't have to know if it was a Behemah or a Chaya. But you do need to know what category. For as the Mefarshim explain the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says Tumas Nevela and Tumas Sheretz are very different Tumas. They're different Shiurim. The Shiur of a Tumas Nevela is a Kazayis. The Shiur of Tumas Sheretz is an Adasha. So therefore, since they're so very different, knowing that you're Tamei without knowing at least what type of Tuma you got Tamei with is not enough. Kiva says as long as you know you're Tamei, it's enough. Actually, in understanding this Machloikus of Rabbi Elazar and Kiva, there's a Machloikus Rishonim. We're going to learn the Gemara as the Rimi Gash explains their Machloikus. We know that you have to have a Yediyah B'Tchila, then a Haloma, and a Yediyah B'Saif. According to Rimi Gash, Rabbi Elazar is teaching us that the Yediyah, both the Yediyah B'Tchila and the Yediyah B'Saif, you have to have the details. Kiva doesn't require it. There are, however, other Rishonim that interpret the Machloikus of Rabbi Elazar Rekiva that the Gemara is now explaining differently. Some Rishonim of the opinion that the Machloikus of Rabbi Elazar Rekiva is strictly limited to the Yediyah B'Tchila. But in Yediyah B'Saif, even Rabbi Elazar will agree that a general idea that you were Tamei is adequate. And then there are opinions of Rishonim that take the other extreme. That the Machloikus of Rabbi Elazar Rekiva about needing to know the detail of the Tuma is only regarding Yediyah B'Tchila. But Yediyah B'Saif, even Rabbi Kiva will agree, you need to know the details. Says the Gemara, V'kena Ma'ula, and so too did Ula teach us, the Sheretz V'Nevel Ikmanayu, that the Machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Kiva is about, do you need to know the details of why he became Tamei? What pushes Ula to explain it that way? Says the Gemara, the Ula Rami, the Rabbi Elazar, Ula asked Astira, in the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Umashani, and I had a teretz which is consistent with what we've been learning. Ula asked the following. Umi Amar Belezer. Does Rabbi Elazar indeed hold Be'inon, Ad Yadi Ibisharitz at me, Ibn Avail at me, that you have to know exactly what type of Tumah there was, Verminim? Ask the Gemara the following question. It says in a Braisa, the following circumstances. There's somebody that ate something. He's not sure if it was Chalev or Noiser. Whether it's Chalev or Noiser, if you ate it Bishagi, Yechayev, Karmachatis. There's somebody who had relations with a woman, either with his wife who was Anita, or with his sister. Again, no matter who he had relations with, Shagig, it's a Chiv Chattas. There's somebody that did Melacha. In our calendar, this couldn't be. But in their calendar, you could have Yom Kippur on a Friday or on a Sunday. So Yom Kippur was either Friday or Sunday. And he did Melacha, and he doesn't know if he did the Melacha on Shabbos, or he did the Melacha on Yom Kippur. Shagig, the Melacha is Yechayev Karm Chattas. What would be the din? Sir Belezer's opinion is, man of shach, chaylev achel, chayev, if he ate chaylev, he's chayev karmachatis, nois achel chayev, if he ate nois, he's chayev achatis. Shabbos chilel, it was mechal Shabbos, he's chayev karmachatis b'shagig, yom kippur chilel, it was mechal yom kippurim, b'shagig, he's chayev achatis. Ishtin nidabol, if he had relations with his wife, who's a nidah, he's chayev karmachatis, achoysebol, or if it's his sister who he had relationships when she's it's a chiv chattas b'shagig. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar says, this is a situation that you chiv karm chattas. The Rishonim point out, what's the point of saying all these cases? They want to say, it's talking about all types of categories. It's talking about eating, it's talking about having relations, it's talking about doing work, all different types of human actions, the halacha is always the same. If for sure you did an aveira, even though you don't know all the details, Rabbi Elazar says, you chiv karm chattas. Amar Rabbi Shaul. So Rabbi Shaul says, no. The pasuk says, Hareyu Oimer, so the Torah, by using the words ashechata ba, teaches us you need to know the detail what the aveira was. And if you don't know that detail, so Rabbi Shu, you're not going to be chayev chattas. So here we have a stira. In our Gemara, Rabbi Elazar, we started today's shir saying it's not considered yedi b'tchila until you know all the details. And here Rabbi Elazar says you can be chayev karm chattas without knowing the details. Umishani answers Re'ula, in defending Rabbi Elazar's opinion, Hosom Ashechot Behavior Amrachmana. As long as you know that you did an Aveira, Chay Kol Shehu. As long as you know you did an Aveira, Yechayev Karmachatis. However, Hachi, Michti, let's think about the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Bechol David Tamei, Oibin Nivla Sheretz Tamei. The Pasuk first says that if you're Tamei, and then you forgot, and you went into the Migdash, or you ate Kodesh, Yechayev Karmachatis. Why does the Torah have to give an example of Nivla Sheretz Tamalomali? Why does the Torah have to start giving us specific examples of what kind of Tumah? To teach us, says Rabbi Elazar, Shmami no bi'inan, adi yada, ibisheretz et mi, ibn alveit mi. It's not enough to know that you were Tameh. To have, be chayv a carbon oil of Yairid, for the Yadi b'tchila, but you have to know the detail. Rabbi Kiva, so ask the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar's point is very well taken. The fact that the Torah went out of its way to tell us the specific Tumah clearly is an indication that the Torah wants us to know why you were Tameh in order for it to be considered Yedi B'Tchila. How does Rabbi Elazar defend his position? How does Rabbi Kiva defend his position? Answers Rabbi Kiva. I did the Moil and the Behem of Achaya, as we learned back on Dav Zayin, that the Torah, we learned Rabbi taught this to us, the Torah has to write that it was Nevelos Behema and Nevelos Chaya. And the Gemara over there asked, and the Veil's Behem and the Veil's Chai is all the same. And the Gemara said that that's how Rabbi Elazar, that's how Rabbi learns with Gzeir Shava, that there's a halacha that if somebody is Tamei and eats Kodesh, he's Chayiv, carbon oil of Yairid, L'chad Rabbi, as Rabbi taught us back at the beginning of Masechta, Ksiv Nami Sheretz. So even though there is no reason for the Torah to write the specific type of Tumah Sheretz, but since the Torah had to write Behem of Achaya, Nevelos Behem and Nevelos Chaya, the Torah also wrote Nevelos Sheretz. Kiritanya de Rabbi Shmuel, as we learned in the Braisa Rabbi Shmuel, Kol Parsha Shenemen V'Nishnas, when we see words that are superfluous in a Parsha, Le'Nishnas Elo B'Shvil Davishon Eschadish Bo. This is a fascinating Gemara. The way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is as follows. Rabbi Kiva is teaching us, it's almost contrary to everything we've ever learned, that if you have extra words in a pasuk, so we know whenever the extra words in a pasuk, it's essentially what happens in every daf of Shas. The Gemara begins to explain what those extra words are here for. Says Rabbi Shmuel, no. If some of the words can be accounted for, even the other words cannot be accounted for, doesn't bother me. And therefore, there is nothing to learn from Sheretz. Doesn't bother me. There's what to learn from Behemoth Chaya, the Gzeres Shav of Rebbe, so the words of Sheretz don't bother me. Rabbi Elazar clearly disagrees. Rabbi Elazar says every word of the Torah has to be learned. And therefore, what are we going to learn from Sheretz? It's coming to teach us you have to know the details. So, we need to explain this Gemara, because nobody should walk away with the wrong understanding of Rabbi Kiva's opinion. The Rishonim say certainly Rabbi Kiva agrees that we have an extra word in the Pasuk, and there is a way of explaining those words. We'll do everything to explain those words, rather than say, since some of the words are needed, the other words don't bother us. Clearly, nobody will accept that line of learning. However, having said that, why does Rabbi Kiva therefore not agree with Rabbi Elazar? Well, Rabbi Elazar does have what to do with the extra words. So Rishonim explain, Rabbi Kiva has a fundamental problem with this pasuk. The pasuk begins with the words B'chol Dov Tameh. What do the words B'chol Dov Tameh indicate? Those words indicate that any Tameh, you don't have to know, as long as you know your Tameh, that's enough to be considered Yedi B'Tchila. So even though the words sheretz seem to indicate that you need details, but they're contradicted with the words b'chol davar tamei. So therefore, because Rabbi Kiva is faced with this dilemma, he says, I'll rely on the words b'chol davar tamei. The teacher says, as long as you know that you're tamei, that's considered a yedi b'tchila, and the words b'shel sheretz, I'll say, are extra. As Rabbi Shmuel says, that's legitimate. But in a case where it weren't like this, Rabbi Kiva would certainly agree every word should be explained for a drasha, if possible. Now the Gemara goes back. The Gemara on Amud Beis, on Dav Yud Ches Amud Beis, briefly quoted the Machlokes Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar. And the pasuk regarding the chi of bringing a carbon chattis uses the words, Ahoydalav katasa ashechata ba. And Rabbi Yeshua said, though the word ba comes to teach us, that one is not chai of a carbon chattis unless he exactly knows the aveira he did. Rabbi Elazar doesn't agree. Rabbi Elazar says, as long as you know that you did an aver yichayev v'chatas, even though you don't know the details, yichayev the karb v'chatas. But the word ba, what does Rabbi Elazar do with? Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar, hay ba ma'avdla, what will he do with that word ba? Answers the Gemara, prat l'masasek. There is a concept in halacha called a masasek. Rashi explains that what is the example of masasek? Rashi says, the example of Masasik is that it's Shabbos, and you have a vegetable, and you think that this vegetable is detached from the ground, you think the tomato is attached from the ground, and you want to pick it up. There's nothing wrong with doing that. And then it turns out that it was attached, and you picked it up, and you pulled it out of the ground. You meant to do something which is 100% mutter, and that's why it's not considered that's what's considered a Masasik that you're not chai for. Where will Rabbi Yeshua learn the dinner Masasik, according to Rashi? He's going to learn it from Shabbos. Because the Torah says Melechus Machsheves, and Mas'asik is not considered a Melechus Machsheves. So why can't Rabbi Elazar learn it from Shabbos? Because Rashi is going to hold that Shabbos has a special rule of Melechus Machsheves. Shabbos has a special rule of Melechus Machsheves that doesn't apply to Chol HaTorah Kula, and therefore he has to have a special limud here. That's how Rabbi Elazar learns, that's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos disagrees. Because Tosfos has a very fundamental machloikis with Rashi, what is included in the category of Masasik? Rashi says that what is considered a Masasik, the example that I gave, where the vegetable that I intended to pick up was, I thought was detached, when it was really attached. But what would be the halacha if the vegetable that I intended to pick up was always attached? I meant to pick up the detached one and I accidentally took the attached one. But what about the one I really thought was detached, was never detached? According to Rashi, that's not Masasik, that's Shayik. According to Tosfos, that's considered Masasik. And in fact, Tosfos takes Masasik even a step further. Tosfos says, even if the vegetable I intended to pick up was Mechubber, and I knew it's Mechubber, but I ended up taking up a different vegetable, it's still Masasik. But that, the Rishonim say, would be a din specifically in Hilchos Shabbos, where there we say Masasik, nowhere else. So in other words, according to Tosfos, the category of misasik is much broader. It's not only where what I was going to do was mutter, but even what I was going to do was usur is still in the category of misasik, certainly as far as Shabbos is concerned. Very interesting, Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega makes a point, saying even though Al Gemara is teaching that according to Beleza, misasik is not chayv karban chatas, says Rabbi Kivega, besides by Shabbos, which is a special requirement of Malachas Machsheves, and all other areas of Halacha, even though you're not chayv karban chatas from misasik, it's still an Aveira. And he brings two rayas. One rayas from our sugya. Our sugyas. We've been discussing a situation where somebody's tamei, knows he's tamei, and enters the Beis HaMikdash not recognizing that it's a Beis HaMikdash. That's a perfect case of misasik. He thinks that the building he's walking into is a regular house. It's misasik. He thinks he's doing something mutter. In his mind, everything is perfect. Yet we're learning that Yechayev HaKarban Oil V'Yayrit. Certainly you see that's it's certainly an Aveira. So you see that misasik is considered an Aveira. Another Raya. The Halach is, if somebody puts on a garment that's shatness, he didn't know shatness, he thought it's a perfectly fine suit, and then you see him walking with that suit, you're obligated to tell him what you're doing is usur. You're obligated to tell him what you're doing is usur. And he has to take off the garment in the middle of the street. Why? It's a misasik. He thinks that the garment is 100% fine. So isn't that a case of misasik? Why is that law that he has to take off the garment? You have to tell him, and he has to take off the garment in the middle of the street. Because you see that misasik is still an aveira, even if there's no chiv carbon. One more interesting point that the Mefarshim work with Rashi here. Rashi makes an interesting example. He gives another example of misasik. Rashi gives an example of misasik where somebody was with his wife, and his wife left, and his sister came in her place, and he had relationship with his wife, with sister instead of his wife. That's an example of misasik. Ask all the Mefarshim, and we've quoted this opinion many times, that even though we're learning that misasik is a lesser aveira, misasik b'chalovim ubarayis, when it comes to macholos asuras, or comes to erva, there is no p'tur misasik. Why is there no p'tur misasik? Shekeinena, you at the end of the day had the hano, and the aveira, as we explained at the beginning of this parak already, is having the hano, and here you had the hano. So ask the Mefarshim, so how could Rashi give this as an example of misasik? So some explain that this subject actually of misasik b'chalovim barayis, is it considered a misasik or not? Is it machloikis tanom? And Rashi, in this Rashi, is following the opinion that there's a Torah misasik even by chalovim barayis. One pshat. Another pshat that I saw from the Turi Evan, it's a very interesting pshat. He says, when do we say that misasik is not a p'tur by arayis, where even though you were a misasik, if not for this aveira, you could have never have done it. If not for these circumstances, you could have never had this hanor. But what would be the halacha? Where somebody's wife is available to him, but for whatever reason, instead of having relations with his wife, he had relations with his sister. His wife's not being a need, obviously. That's not considered a problem. Why? Because it's only considered kishay nana, says the Turi Evan, where otherwise you could have never had this hano. But if this person's wife was readily available, so he could have had the hano anyway. That's why it's not called a misasik. It goes back to Gemara, now to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan goes back to what we began today's shiur with. We began today's shiur with quoting the Mishnah. With having the machlokes of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, both of them agreeing that if you don't know, if you remember your tamei, but you don't know that this is the Mikdash, or this is Kodesh, there's no carbon oil of a Yairid, and the machlokes is only from where we know that rule from. Says the Gemara, what is the practical nafkamina between Rabbi Elazar and Bishua? And the Gemara gave the first exam, the first mahalach. Now the Gemara says a different approach. Rabbi Yochanan Mishmas Darshnik Vinayu. There is no practical machlokes. The machlokes is only how to explain the psukim. The Ken Amar Rav Sheshes Mishmas Darshnik Vinayu. And says the Gemara, For Sheshes Machlo the Rebbelezer Bekiva. For Rebbelezer indeed reversed, saying where Rebbelezer holds Rebbekiva holds Rebbekiva holds Rebbelezer, because there's really no nafkamina. So the way most Mepharshim explain the Gemara is as follows. There's a Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says that if someone says over something b'shem somebody else, or doesn't say it over b'shem Omroi, he's a ganef. Says the Mitzvah Eis, and there's in fact, I saw an incredible Sefer Chassidim. The Sefer Chassidim says as follows. There was a person, somebody had a father, whose father was plagiarizing Divrei Torah. He heard Divrei Torah from different people, and then he wrote them down as if they were his own. And then he put together a whole sefer. And then he told his son, before he was about to pass away, I'd like you to print the sefer, my sefer, after I leave the world. Says the sefer chassidim, even though one is obligated to do what his father asks of him, mitzvah kaim divrei meis, especially a parent who's leaving the world, here where you know that your father was plagiarizing, don't print the sefer. Magen Avraham says it's a lav. And here we see that the Gemara is switching around. Rav Sheshet switched on Rav Lezer to Rav Kiva to Rav Lezer. What's going on? So the Mitzvah Eisen explains the Gemara that the only time one may not do so is where it's relevant la'aloch l'maisa. And saying that this person held that opinion and the other one held this, when it's not accurate, is very wrong. Here, as the Gemara is teaching us, there is no, Rabbi Yochanan is teaching us, there is no nafkamina lahalocha, and therefore it doesn't make a difference. However, I have to say that I saw Mepharshim that say certainly, even though it's less of a problem when you do something like this where it doesn't have halachic ramifications, it certainly should not be done. I saw the Torah Tamima quotes a Yerushalmi that says the Pasuk uses the words Ish Amunim, and the Yerushalmi says, what does an Ish Amunim mean? An Ish Amunim, what is the definition of a trustworthy individual? The definition of a trustworthy individual is a person who's always careful to repeat something properly in the name of the person who said it. And then I even saw a very interesting pshat. Absolutely, it's prohibited, even where it's not relevant, la'aloch l'maisa, to switch around who said what. But as we know throughout Shas, Rav Sheshes was unfortunately blind. So Rav Sheshes really never knew exactly who said what, because he only heard, he didn't see who was saying what. So the Gemara is saying, Rav Sheshes, it was only Rav Sheshes who was blind, and therefore wasn't really sure who said what, machlif would confuse who said what. Well, be Baruch Hashem, who have the ability, or certainly in the cases where we know who says what, have the obligation to be very accurate in repeating something in the name of the person who said it. Continues the Gemara. As we've been learning, Rabbi Lezer and Bishua are in the opinion that if somebody forgot, somebody knew he was Tamei, and then he forgot that he was Tamei, and ate Kodesh, or entered the Migdash, that's when he's going to bring the carbon oil of Yorid. Whereas, if he forgot that he's Tamei, if he got that this is Kodesh, or he forgot that this is Migdash, but remembered his Tamei, he won't bring a carbon oil of Yorid. Ask the Gemara, Baimene Rav and Rav Nachman, Walbir Alocha of Helm Zev Zeb Yadamahu. He forgot everything. He forgot that he's Tamei, he forgot that this is Kodesh, he forgot that this is Migdash. What is the Alocha? And as most Rishonim explained the Gemara's question, fairly simply, what do we look at? What is the primary halama here? Is the primary halama the tumah? So then he's chayv carbon oil of yared. Or is the primary tumah, the primary halama the kodesh and the migdash, and then he's not chayv carbon oil of yared? That's a simple way of learning the Gemara. Chazanish has a little more of a lomdish way of explaining the Gemara. He says as follows. He says, the halacha is, as we've been learning, that if you forgot the Kodesh or Migdash, you don't bring carbon oil of Yared. But the question is why? There could be one of two reasons. It could either be because it's Karv La'onis. There are two reasons that you don't bring carbon sometimes. Either because it's a Karv La'onis or it's a Karv L'mezit. So now the question is, how do we look at this circumstance? Where a person forgot both the Tumah and the Kodesh. If we say that forgetting the Kodesh is Karv La'onis, but now we also forgot the Tumah, that bumps it up to the category of a shaygig, and he's going to be chayav karban oil of a yoyrid. But if we say that forgetting the kaidush or the migdash is karv lemezit, the fact that you also forgot the tumah doesn't change the fact that that's a karv lemezit, and by karv lemezit you don't bring a carbon because you're not given the opportunity to have a kapara with the kapara, with the carbon. And therefore, that's the Gemara's question. According to Belezer of Yeshua, where you forgot everything, how do we look at it? Amalei. So he says, Hare helm tum biyodai. He forgot that he's tummy, and we know if he forgot the tummy, you're chayiv. So he says, no, you can look at it the other way. Hare helm mikdash biyodai. He forgot the mikdash, he forgot the kaidish, and he ought to be potter. So how do we look at this situation? Amar v'ashi, chazinen. We have to analyze the situation. Imit tum kaparish, if the reason he left the Migdash, stopped eating because he realized that he's Tameh, so it's a situation of Helm Tum B'Yodai, and he's Chayiv Karban Oil V'Yorid. If, however, the Migdash Kaparish, he realizes that he shouldn't have been in Migdash, he realizes that this is Kaidish, Hare Helm Migdash B'Yodai, and he Potter, and he's Chater from Karban Oil V'Yorid. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. So Taisus asks the obvious question, and it's, in a sense, the Gemara's question in a moment. So you ask him, was it the Helm Tumah? And he'll tell you it's the Helm Migdash. He'll tell you it's Helm Tumah. That doesn't mean if you would have told him the Migdash, he would have said it's the Migdash. It happened to be that I mentioned Tumah first, and he said, oh, it's I'm Tumah. So that's what he remembers first. And if I would have asked the Migdash Kodesh first, maybe he would have remembered that first. So how do we look at this? So I saw a number of different Mahalchim in the Rishonim how to explain the Gemara. One Mahalch, Taisus suggests, which is, I think, Pshat the Rashi saying, yeah, it matters what you ask first. And if you ask Tumah first, and that was what he remembered, so we have a situation of Helm Tumah. And if you would have asked Migdash and Kodesh first, then you have a situation of Helm Tumah, Helm Migdash and Helm Kodesh. A very difficult Pshat, because it's very coincidental. It's based on what he was asked first. So I saw other Rishonim that explained that what's the case that the Gemara is referring to. That when the person was spoken to, he wasn't asked Tumah, or he wasn't asked Mugdash or Kodesh, he just said, what are you doing? Without any details. And now we ask him, obviously when I said to you, what were you doing? And as soon as I said those words to you, you jumped away, you stopped eating the Kodesh, you ran out of the Migdash, and now I approach you and ask you, be honest with me, what was what caused you to jump away? If it was the Helm Tumah that caused you to jump away, then you'll be Chayav Karban Oil V'Yorid. If it was the Helm Migdash HaKadosh that caused you to jump away, you'll be Potter. But ask the Gemara, Amalei, Ravina Lerav Ashi, how can we make this dichotomy? Klum Perosh Mi Migdash Elam Shem Tumah. How can we separate the Tumah and the Migdash travel together? When you're Tumah, you're not allowed to go into the Migdash. And Klum Perosh Mi Migdash Elam Shem Tumah. The reason he's leaving the Migdash is because he's Tumah. So how can we separate this? And therefore, loishna, what does that mean? Loishna means that we don't know how to treat this. Do we treat this as a situation of Helm Tumah? Or do we treat this as a situation of Helm Migdash? And therefore, because there's a suffix, we don't bring a carbon oil of the earth. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Shnei Shivilim. There are two roads. Echet Tameh Vechetar. One road is Tameh. There's a grave there, and one road is tar, but we don't know which road is which. And he walked on, somebody walked on the first road, and he didn't go into the base of Mikdash. Then b'sheni v'nichnas, and then he walked into the second road, and then he walked into the base of Mikdash. So he's certainly tamei. We just don't know why, but he's certainly tamei, and therefore it's considered yadir b'tchilo, and he'd be chayv carbon oil of yarid. Most rishonim are of the opinion that we're speaking here about a road, or Rishonim agree to this, that we're speaking about a road in Rosh Hashanah. What Allah is the road in Rosh Hashanah is a suffix, remains a suffix. Because a road Rosh Hashanah, we know that Allah is a road Rosh Hashanah, a suffix, Tameh Rosh Hashanah is Tameh, and therefore if these two roads were Rosh Hashanah, we have to consider both roads certainly Tameh. That's how most Rishonim everybody would agree to this psak. But the Rambam, and the Achronim explained the Rambam, say that the same thing would be even Brishus Hayochid. For they say as follows, a very big Yisoid. Rav Chaim Brisker says this Yisoid. Dar Sameach says this Yisoid. Rav Elchanan says this Yisoid. All the Achronim say this Yisoid. When we say Safik Tame Rishus HaYachid is Tame, what does that mean? Does that mean that it's certainly Tame? Or does that mean that we should treat it as if it's Tame? So they say it certainly doesn't mean that it's Tame. It has the halach of Tumah, but it doesn't be Tame. But the Chacham says a very tief of art. The Chacham says like this, if we have some Isser, something not kosher, falling into a pot that's bottled, so the whole pot becomes kosher, or vice versa, the whole pot becomes treif. Here it doesn't become tame. We have to treat it like tame. But one road doesn't have tumma, and one road does have tumma. And therefore, in this case, they say the same thing would be in Rishus Hayochid as in Rishus Rabbah. As far as we're concerned, it doesn't really change what we're trying to accomplish now. Here we have a person that walked on both of the roads. So he was certainly tame. Because it's either road one that's tame, or it's road two that's tame. So he has Yediyas HaTumma. And then he forgot, entered the base of Mikdash, Chayiv Karban Oil of Yared. That's the opinion of the Tanna. Continues the Braisa, however. Halach Rishon, he walked on the first road, the Nichnas, and he entered the base of Mikdash, the Hiz of Hashanah V'Tavol, and then he went through the entire purification process. The Achakach Halach B'Sheni, and then he walked into the second one, the Nichnas, and then he goes into the base of Mikdash. Tanakama holds his Chayiv. Why? Because even though he's not for sure that he was entered the base of Mikdash when he's Tamei, but there is a possibility, that Yediyah is enough of a Yediyah, according to the Tanakhama. Rav Shimon, and the Gemara is going to elaborate on this, Poiter. Why? Because there wasn't a definite Yediyah, and according to Rav Shimon, without a definite Yediyah, it's not considered a situation of Yediyah B'Tchila. Goes the Gemara even a step further, going back to the first case, where the person walked on both roads prior to entering the base of Mikdash, says Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, according to Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, not only does Rav Shimon hold in the second case that we just explained, that you're not going to be chayv carbon oil of a yoyred, but even in the first case, where the person is certainly tamei, because he walked on a tamei de garo, we just don't know which one it was, he's still going to be potter from carbon chattas, carbon oil of a yoyred. Ask the Gemara immediately, the kulam, the fele, the kamaisa, even in the first case, again, to repeat the first case, what was the first case? He walked on one road. There are two roads, one is Tameh, one is Tar. He walked on both roads before he entered the base of Mikdash, and then he entered the base of Mikdash, because he forgot that he's Tameh. Why would Rav Shimon hold it, you're not Chayv HaKarbon Oil V'Yayred? Asked the Gemara. But Manushach Tamehu, no matter how we look at it, he's certainly Tameh. Because one of the roads he walked on is Tameh. On the Rava, answers Rava, Hachamai Skinen, Kigarin Shahalach Parishan. He walked on the first road. And then, Bishar Shahalach Bashani, when he walked on the second road, Shachach Shahalach Parishan. He forgot about what happened previously, that he walked on the first road. The Havale Mixus Yediyah. That, according to this version of Rav Shimon, is also considered not a full-fledged Yediyah of Hakamafkin. And now we can understand the Machloikis in the Braisa. The Tanakhama is of the opinion, the fact that I know that I'm walking on the second road, even though I forgot that I walked on the first road, that's enough of a idea. Rav Shimon Sava, but Rav Shimon is of the opinion, the fact that I don't have a complete picture of the story disqualifies me from having a idea b'tchila, and as we've been learning, as we're actually starting to finish the sugyas of carbon oil of Yair for Tumma, without a Yediyah B'Tchila, you're not Chayv carbon oil of Yair. But in the next case, of Halach Barishin, the Nichnas, he walked into first road, and then he walked into the base of Migdash. And then, he's a B'Shen V'Tavol, and then he was completely Matar himself. And then, Chaz V'Halach B'Sheni, and then he walked in the second row of the Nichnas, Chayv. Hashem Paiter, ask the Gemara, we need to understand the opinion of the Tanakhama. For my chayiv, Safik Yediyahu. In the previous case, he was certainly Tameh. So yes, the way we explained the Braisa, he was certainly Tameh, but since he didn't know the entire story, we have a machloikis if that's considered enough of a Yediyahu or not. But let's think about this case. In this case, he might not have been Tameh. We can't be sure that he was Tameh. So why would anybody hold your chayiv? So there's a machloikis as to why. Even a suffix is enough to be considered a yediyah. Rish Lakish Amar Hamani, whose opinion does this represent? Going back to something that we discussed already in the previous parak, represents the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, Tamar Lo Bein Yedi B'Tchila. Rabbi Shmuel holds, even though we've been learning Yav Tav Yedi B'Tchila, that's the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. That's the opinion of Rabbi. Rabbi Shmuel holds you don't have to have Yedi B'Tchila. So just to review, there's a three categories. Where somebody walked with two roads, one is Tamei, one is Tar, and somebody walked on both roads and then entered the base of Mikdash. Tanakhama says for sure Yechayev Karban Oil of Yairid. There's a machlokes what Rav Shimon's opinion is going to be. Rav Shimon, one opinion of Rav Shimon is that Yechayev, because he certainly Tamei when he went into the base of Mikdash. The other opinion is if the person forgot part of the story, Rav Shimon will still hold that he's parted from Karban Oil of Yairid. That isn't considered Yediyah B'Tchila. That's. And the next case is where a person walked on one road, entered the base of Mikdash, doesn't know if it's the Tamei the road, entered the base of Mikdash, then was Matar himself, then walked on the next road and walked into the base of Mikdash. Rav Shimon says you potter because you don't know for sure that you were ever Tamei when you walked into the base of Mikdash. Rav Tanakhama says that you chayiv, and the Machloik is why the Tanakhama says you chayiv. Rav Yochanan holds that that's enough of a Yediyah, even though you don't know for sure that you were Tamei. Rav Shimon and Rav Shlokish holds the reason you chayiv is because the Tanakhama here represents the opinion of Rav Shmuel, who holds that loy bein yediyah b'tchila, you don't have to have a full-fledged yediyah to be chayiv a carbon oil of a yairid. Ask the Gemara, Ramad Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan, Ramad Rav Shlokish, Rav Shlokish, these opinions that we just explained were the opinions of Rav Yochanan and Rav Shlokish have carried with them a contradiction. Because it says as follows, the Tanya. Just two words of introduction. One, as we know, that if somebody does an Aveira, but he's not sure if he did or didn't do an Aveira, that means somebody ate a piece of meat, and he's not sure if the piece of meat he ate was kosher or not, brings an Ashim Tolui, until he knows for sure that he did an Aveira, and then he'll bring a Karm Chattis. Another halacha, that we just quoted as recently as yesterday, if somebody eats a Kezayis of Chalif, and then he realizes he ate the Kezayis of Chalif, and then he eats another Kezayis, he has to bring a separate Karm Chattis for each Kezayis. But let's say somebody ate a number of kezayis and chalif without recognizing in between the achilas that he ate chalif, he only brings one karm chattis. Says the Braisa, ochel safek chalif. Somebody ate a piece of meat that's a safek if it was kosher or not. The noida, and then he became aware that this happened. And again, safek chalif and noida, and again, such a circumstance happens to him. Rabbi Omer, shem shemevi chattis akolecha vechot. Just like the halacha were, that if he ate separate kezayisim of chalif, you bring a separate karm chattis for each kezayis. Kishem shemivei chattis akolecha ve'echad, kach maybe asher tolim akolecha ve'echad. So too do you bring an asher tolim for each kezayis separately. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, Amru, Mishum, Rav Shimon, any maybe el asher tolim echad. You only bring one asher tolim. Shinema, al shigigosa yishishogag, hatari ripsa shigogas habay, Torah says you did many acts and you only bring one Ashim Tali Achad. And in explaining this machlokes, says Rish Lakish, Kan Shana Rebbe, Rebbe taught us here, Yediyas Sofik Mechalkas L'chattis, that it's enough to have, according to Rebbe, that you bring a separate Ashim Tali. Let's think about it. You didn't have a Yediyah Vadai. You only had a Sofik Yediyah. Because the definition is that you don't know for sure you did an Aveira. Yet, what does Rebbe teach us? That's enough to bring a separate Ashim Tolui, even though you don't have a full-fledged Yediyah. Rabbi Yochanan says, Shem Shediyas Vadei Ba'al Meschalkas L'chatas, that for a chatas, only time there's a separation between the Chiyuvim is a Yediyas Vadei. Shem Shediyas Vadei Ba'al Meschalkas L'chatas, Kach Yediyas Sofik Meschalkas L'Hashamas. And now let's figure out the question. According to Rish Lakish, the question is very obvious. Rish Lakish did not agree with Rabbi Yochanan's teretz. What was Rabbi Yochanan's teretz? Rabbi Yochanan's teretz is that a Sofik Yediyah is enough. But it's not true. He was seeing that Rish Lakish is explaining that Rebbe holds that a Sofik Yediyah is enough of a Yediyah. So why, when we had a question in understanding the Tanakhama's opinion, where somebody walked on one road, Matar walked into the base of Middash, Matar himself, and walked into the second road. Why does he bring carbon oil of a yairid? We should have said it's Rebbe's opinion. The Rebbe holds that a Safek Yediyah is enough of a Yediyah. That's the question, Rish Lakish. The question on Rabbi Yochanan is here. Rabbi Yochanan says that you have to have a Yediyah Svadai to be Chayav Kor Mechatis. And in answering the opinion of Tanna Kamma, it was Rabbi Yochanan who said that a Safek Yediyah is enough. So how do we understand Rish Lakish's opinion and Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan's opinion based on this Braisa? Says the Gemara, Bishlama, Rabbi Yochanan like Kasha. We can reconcile the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Kan asu, v'loi kol atara asu. It's only regarding carbon asham, talui, that a safek yediyah is enough of yediyah, not regarding a carbon chatas. Hachu, v'loi ksiv yediyah behed yim v'nelem, hu de asi, v'loi v'chol atara kula asa, de ksiv, I heard love yediyah ma'al yisabi'inim. Which means in one summary sentence is as follows. Rabbi Yochanan says for chatas you have to have a yediyah svadai. For nashim talu you don't have to have a yediyah svadai. And a carbon oil of a yairid, where the Torah doesn't use the word ayhoida, all the Torah uses the word vanilla, which is a weaker status, he just forgot, a yediyah safik is enough. So now Rabbi Yochanan is very much consistent. For nashim talu a safik yediyah is enough. For carbon oil of a yairid, a safik yediyah is enough. For chatas, you have to have a yediyah svadai. But now, in understanding Rish Lakish, what did Rish Lakish say? Rish Lakish said that the Tanna Kamma, explained it before, is following the opinion of Yishmael. Asked him, what do we have to say that he's following the opinion of Yishmael? Because Rish Lakish didn't want to follow the opinion that a Safek Yediyah is considered a Yediyah, why did he have to say that? Ela Rish Lakish, Adamat Malak Rabbi Yishmael. Instead of forcing the Tanna Kamma to agree with Rabbi Yishmael, who holds you don't have a Yediyah B'tchila, look my Karebi. Who says that a Safek Yediyah is enough? Answers the Gemara. Hak Mashman. Absolutely, says the Gemara. Rish Lakish could have explained the Braisa, the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, that a Safek Yediyah is enough. But Rish Lakish wants to teach us another halacha. There is Shmuel, Leiba Yediyah B'tchila. That even though we've been learning that you always have to have a Yediyah B'tchila in order to be Chayav Kor Mechatis, Rish Shmuel doesn't need that. And that's what Rish Lakish wanted to teach us. And how did he teach it to us? By explaining the opinion of the Tanna Kamma being consistent with Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that Lo Bo Yediyah B'tchila. Ask the Gemara, we need Rish Lakish to teach us this way what Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is? Pshita. It's obvious that that's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Pshita. Midalai Miyasle Kroa V'nelam V'machayvam Helam Migdash. Going back to the beginning of today's shiur. According to Rabbi Yishmael, it's not only if you forgot that you're tamei, are you chayav a carbon oil of a yairid, but even if you forgot that this is kodesh or it's migdash, you chayav a carbon oil of a yairid. So, how does he know? So obviously, if that's the case, there's a superfluous word of a helam in the pasuk. What does Rabbi Yishmael do with that helam? To teach us that you don't have to have Yediyah B'tchila. So now the Gemara's question is as follows. Rish Lakish could have a very simple way of explaining this Braisa. He could have explained that the Braisa is following the opinion of Rebbe, and the Tanakh, and Rebbe holds that a Safek Yediyah is enough of Yediyah. What did the Gemara say? And Rish Lakish wanted to explain it like Rabbi Yishmael, in order to teach us that Rish Lakish doesn't need a Yediyah B'tchila. Of course Rish Lakish doesn't need a Yediyah B'tchila. There's an extra word, Vehelim, to teach us that. So what's the Bechidish? The Rish Lakish wants to teach us in understanding the opinion of Yishmael. Pshita, says the Gemara. The Mechayev al Helam Migdash. So why do we need a Pasuk? Answers the Gemara. Mada Tema. Why do I need this Braisa to teach us that? Kiles lemikroi. Perhaps there is no Pasuk that tells us that you don't have to have Yediyah B'tchila. But maybe Rabbi Yishmael had a Messiah. The Gemara is like that you have to have Yediyah B'tchila. How does Rish Lakish teach us that Rabbi Shmuel absolutely does not require Yediyah B'tchila by saying that this price follows Rabbi Shmuel's opinion and that the Tanna Kamma says that even if you don't have Yediyah B'tchila, you still chayav a carbon oil of yard because you don't need a Yediyah B'tchila. And to make sure that we know that, that's why Rish Lakish explained the price that way rather than explaining the price follows the opinion of Rebbe that a Safek Yediyah is considered a Yediyah. Harun lachidis atoma, harun lachidis atoma, harun lachidis atoma.